Grace and peace to each of you as we gather on this, the third day of Spiritual Life Week. I invite you, as you kind of wander around this space before you leave, to notice the stones which we will be using as a pathway toward our communion time, that were created from what was laid on the table on Tuesday, and some other things added as the artist discovered what was being invited within their own life. And so now it has come something beautiful, something to guide our pathway, our awareness. In our human messiness, God is creating something good. So we pay attention to that. So welcome to this time. And we want to welcome Mariah Hurst. And I think I've got the title right now. She is Pastor of Nurture and Faith Formation at Parkview Mennonite Church, Harrisonburg, Virginia. That's a long story, but we've got her right, and she's here with us, and it's a joy to have you. Let me just indicate a little bit of introduction of who she is. And I think it's all off the website, and mostly, so if I need to change something, you let me know, Mariah. Mariah has lived and worked in Australia for 8 years under assignment with Mennonite Mission Network. Her role there has been primarily with Praxis, a young adult training and discipling program. She has also served two congregations in Australia as a youth and young adult pastor. Additionally, she was involved in local peace and justice issues, particularly with Love Makes a Way, a group addressing Australia's inhumane treatment of asylum seekers. With a 2003 bachelor's degree from Goshen College and a 2008 Master of Divinity from Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, Mariah was ordained in 2014 in the service at Assembly Mennonite Church in Goshen, Indiana. She is passionate about serving the church long-term in ministry to young people, saying, "I deeply care about the faith formation of young people and love being in spaces of exploration, wrestling, and questioning with them." She has been affirmed for these gifts as both teacher and preacher. So as a tri-culture person, she grew up in Australia, Canada, and the United States, and is a child of long-term Australian missionary workers, Mark and Mary Hurst. Has two brothers living in Harrisonburg, and one will be leading us in the litany. Micah, where are you? Right there. And in her own words, for her personal vision, and I thought this was interesting, so I thought I would add it in. Her personal vision for life is to walk with others in pain toward wholeness, facing life with tears, frustration, and joy. Sounds like messiness to me. To sit in silence in the community, listening for God's leading. To work with children, youth, and women, listening and loving. To deepen an understanding of faith, of nature, simple living, and our accountability to the earth and others sharing these resources. To listen to the underdog, the oppressed, the irregular voice. To trust wildly and to stand in the hurt and beauty that will come. To see darkness not as an ending, but to sit in it waiting, and to cultivate wonder. And today she will walk us into some of her messiness as a human being, a human being like we all are. So bless you as we move into this time together. Shall we worship?
If you'd join me in the litany, it's on the back of the program, and I'll read the leader part, and I invite you to join in as the congregation. Lord, we gather for worship today.
As expectant people, eager to hear your voice.
Lord, we gather for worship today.
As wounded people, wondering what you have to offer in ministry.
We confess that we often feel vulnerable, broken, imperfect and afraid.
But you comfort us with the words, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you."
We confess that we often feel empty, weak, frightened, and confused.
But you comfort us with words, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you."
We are grateful that you have always chosen to work through broken and imperfect people, that you have chosen to make all things new.
By your grace and mercy, the broken pieces of our lives have been restored, and their path leads us to your table and beyond.
We are grateful that you are the God of wounded healers, and that you can use our imperfections to transform pain into promise, trash into art.
By your grace and mercy, the broken pieces of our lives have been restored, and their path leads us to your table and beyond.
Community, hear this promise. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, and I will bring you home. I love you, and you are mine. Today, we will follow the path of brokenness to meet Jesus at the table and embrace his invitation to walk as wounded healers in our broken world.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Scripture text comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 5. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you're precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you.
I'm not really a messy person, or at least that's what I like to tell myself. Some people are just messy, but I don't think that I'm one of them. If you look at my desk or the pile of dishes that have built up at my house, you might think differently. But generally, I like order. I'm pretty good with people's emotional messiness, but I struggle to let my messiness show. Today, I want us to think together a bit about vulnerability and authenticity, about our messy humanness and how much we share that. Honestly, I don't really like being vulnerable. I just don't want to. I push back against it partly because I feel like it's something that women are often painted as, vulnerable. And I don't want to be that. I can take care of myself. Thank you very much. I like the fact that I'm a strong woman, but I'm also pretty sensitive, and if you talk to my housemate, she will tell you that I'm a crier. We had a show of that just here this morning. Someone asked me how I was, and I started crying. If someone else starts crying, I cry with them. If I get upset or overwhelmed or overtired or too hungry or angry, I start crying. So I'm a messy contradiction in my wanting to appear strong and my emotional self being very visible. As a pastor, I lead a fairly public life, and I'm in front of people very often. Kind of like this setting today. The uncomfortable part of this is that every time I step in front of people, I make myself vulnerable. Vulnerable to comment, to criticism, opening up my life and story to all of you. Generally, I am a fairly open person. We had a leadership team meeting this last week, and one of the leaders went around the group affirming each person, and they got to me and they said, "Mariah, you're just so honest." And I had to laugh that that's the sense they have of me from my leadership over the last year and a half at Parkview. Maybe this honesty is part of why I love the Psalms so much. The psalmist is so honest and vulnerable before God. They express this raw emotion. And I resonate with this, but it also makes me super uncomfortable because opening up to others can be really hard. Being vulnerable feels like leaving yourself open to be hurt. About 7 years ago, I was at one of the lowest parts of my life. I had been burnt out and depressed and hadn't been able to work for about 6 months. And I had spent a lot of that time at my parents' house crying. As I came out of that time, I started teaching at a Bible college. My first semester of teaching, I felt like I had nothing to give. Who was I to teach anyone else? I was a mess and I didn't have my life together. It was not all sorted out. I ended up sharing just part of this feeling of inadequacy with one of my older students, and her response really shocked me. She said that that was what made me such a good teacher. I didn't have all of the answers and was vulnerable enough to share that with my students, and that gave them space to ask questions and also to learn from their broken parts. She said that my teaching from a space of vulnerability made them realize they didn't need to have it all together to be able to do this work with others. But in my honest, vulnerable authenticity, I don't want to just be messy on everyone else. I often challenged my students to work on their own stuff, their brokenness, their baggage, or else they would just project it out onto everybody else. You may have heard the phrase, and it came up earlier this week, hurt people hurt people. But the truth is, no one ever really has all of their crap together, and we're deluding ourselves if we think that we do. Me being vulnerable is letting some of my mess hang out there, but not making it so heavy that others have to carry it. I've found that you have to have people you can blurt to. Me knowing myself is knowing that I'm an introverted verbal processor. So I only know what I'm thinking as it comes out of my mouth or as I see it in front of me in writing. I have to have safe people to talk to be messy with, who will hold me accountable, help me to wade through my crap, or just witness to it and still love me, even when I am flawed. These people also help me to be clear about not asking too much or too little of the people that I serve, teach, and care for. This is a really delicate balance. Being real with people, the people that I serve, but not dragging them into my drama, especially as their leader. That's not the place I want to lead them. I don't get this balance right every day. And you can figure out which side you err on. Are you an oversharer or are you tight-lipped? Here's a hint on which side I fall on. Last year before our church retreat, my mentor asked me how I was feeling about the event. And I rolled my eyes and said, people are going to want to talk to me and ask me about my life. And she had a good laugh and she said, yes, Mariah, you're their new pastor. Part of me learning vulnerability is letting people see me beyond the carefully constructed front that I want people to see, going deeper than my airbrushed Facebook status. When I seek people out to blurt to, I try to make sure they're not people from my church. One way I think about what I share, the way I think about sharing my stories, and I'm sorry if this grosses you out, because I'm not trying to be gruesome, but the way I think about this is if it feels like something is still a gaping wound or a sore, I can't put it out there for people yet. That's for the safe people around me. Once something has scabbed over or is a scar, then there is more space for me to be able to talk about that more openly. All of this is hard because I'm a recovering perfectionist. So I'm still discovering how to learn from my mistakes. Saying I'm only human ends up being an excuse or a way that I make myself feel better about myself when I blunder through things. But I'm trying to realize that being fully human is just who God has made me to be. God didn't only create my strong, shiny parts. God made my sharp edges and my flaws too, and yet God still calls me beloved. When I was being called to be one of the pastors at Parkview Mennonite, I had to go through several months of interviews. Any of you who has candidating in your future, good luck. I was surprisingly calm through this all, partly because I took on the attitude that I have to be openly me, as much me as I can be, so that they know what they're getting as a pastor. I could try to be more biblically literate or theologically astute, but the truth is, I'm not the greatest at those things. So I leaned into who I am. I'm good at practical theology and just learning how to use my gifts wisely. I get annoyed when people use cutesy phrases, but actually I really like the saying, be yourself, because everyone else is taken. I can only be me. What a relief. I spent most of my life thinking that there was a script that I had to follow, how I needed to be in every situation, what I should say or shouldn't say, and what I should do. If I could just figure out the script, I would be okay. It was very freeing when I realized that folks wouldn't hate me if I said something or did something wrong. And maybe not all situations have a right and a wrong. Now I work a lot with children and youth. Working with children has made me realize another contradiction that I hold in myself. I have lots of grace for children, for their life and their mess and their energy. The challenge is me getting over the very high expectations I have for myself and for other adults, and not being able to extend that same grace to all of them. The first time I preached on the passage that we heard read today, I was 2 years into my first pastorate. I had been preparing my sermon, and on the Wednesday morning, we found out that a 30-year-old young man that was a son of a couple in the church had been killed in a tragic boating accident. How do you preach after something like that happens? I realized that I didn't have good answers, but that was okay. God is more than our cliches and much more complicated, but also God is in the simple truth of being there, in the mess with us, in the storm, in the fire, not always pulling us out of it or wrapping us up in bubble wrap to protect us and keep us safe, but wading in to be with us. Not forcing us to be perfect, but entering into our messy humanness, into that experience with us. God is making God's self vulnerable to us. God doesn't stand far off and just watch. There's a song that's called God is Watching Us, which my dad absolutely hates. And part of it is because it said God is watching us from a distance. Our God, the God of this text, enters in, is here, and I think that being here hurts God. To watch us go through pain and to feel it with us, is excruciating. In pastoring, I step into situations where I can't fix it or make it better. I can be and care and listen. But that also opens me up to be vulnerable to the pain and the suffering. Yet it also welcomes me into their joy. I've stood next to deathbeds and had no answers. I've sat in hospital rooms with young people who were suicidal, and I knew that I couldn't help. But I've also gotten to bless babies and baptize young people, and people have trusted me with some of their deepest thoughts and their raw humanity. How lucky am I? And what kind of a person would I be if I didn't reciprocate with some of my own honest, messy humanity? Sometimes I have to just come back to the basic truth that God is and God is with me. God is enough and I am enough. I want to just leave you with the words from a prayer poet who's an Australian that I have often returned to his words. God bless our contradictions. Those parts of us which seem out of character. Let us boldly and gladly be out of character. Let us be creatures of paradox and variety, creatures of contrast, of light and shade, creatures of faith. God, be our constant. Let us step out of character into the unknown, to struggle and love and do what we will. Amen.
Bless us, Lord, in this moment that we can only be who we are, nobody else, with the gift of your deep presence where we are on this journey, with you and with each other. Amen. I will come to you in the silence. Let's sing a song of response.
I'm not to you in the silence.
table of remembrance and response. We may be a little theologically messy today, and I think that's okay. So that all can come to the table, we are using corn tortillas as a part of our communion. So all are welcome at the table and all can participate. We will move, once we engage the participation, invite you to the bread and the cup will find its way to the back of the room. And invite you, as you engage in the participation, to come up and just let yourself move around following the stones, following the pathway that has been created, paying attention to how Jesus continues to invite us to come, to remember, and to engage. Nancy, will you join me? It seems that in the letter to the Corinthians, Paul was really working with a messy community, and maybe that's saying it lightly. This blended community of folks with status and folks with no status, differing genders, gathering around the same table. How do relationships continue to work? And in the midst of this context, as they're working at this piece called communion, what does it mean to come to the Lord's table? We have this piece that I will read as Nancy breaks the bread and pours the cup. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Pray with me. Lord, you demonstrated your own vulnerability by becoming human, pouring yourself out into our messiness, a messiness of contradiction, God incarnate, God with us. You became our teacher, a servant, a guest, a host, our redeemer and friend. And so now we call to memory the gift of life and presence in all our situations, robust enough to give us the gift of life in our own vulnerability and messiness. So Spirit of Christ, bless this bread and this cup and this community gathered here that we may continue to follow you in all our humanity, knowing that you are at work within us to will and to do of your good pleasure because of love in Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite you, Mariah, to come up and take the bread and assist Nancy in breaking it, and I will take the cup. Someone will hold the plate and one will break the bread, take the cup, and we will meet you all the back door. And as you enter, pass through the back door, then I invite you to just kind of linger for a minute for our last blessing and greet each other with the peace of Christ. Thank you.
Thank you.